Stages of labor, hormones of birth, and timing contractions are not the most important or effective ways to learn about physiologic birth. And chances are, you've learned some of that, and you still have questions about what to expect from birth. And these questions linger because the sources that are teaching childbirth preparation are only offering facts about labor and birth created to enable the medical system to justify the use of interventions to speed up labor, despite the injuries experienced by mothers and the disruptions to the mother-baby bonding. Before birth became a medical procedure that needed these guidelines and metrics, women were shown physiologic birth instead of charts and graphs and tables. Today, we have the benefit of merging traditional physiologic birth knowledge with what is useful from research and evidence. And this has been the key to helping my students and clients avoid things like tears and traumatic birth injuries and go on to have fulfilling natural births. If natural birth is calling you, merging traditional physiologic birth with learning modern knowledge may be the answer to your lingering questions. And you can begin the journey of seeing physiologic birth with a free class that will introduce you to the 3 P's of physiologic birth that help my students and clients avoid tearing in only 15 minutes. So you will know why you can trust your body to give birth without injury. After watching this 15-minute video, you will know what physiologic birth really is and why learning the stages of labor, lists of hormones, and cervical dilation rates is just not enough, the most common points in labor where tissue damage tends to occur, and how to use the 3 P's of physiology to prevent the causes of tears or episiotomies. And you will learn the difference between being 10 centimeters and being ready to push. After seeing the physiology in this way, one of my students, Sarah, said, "Simply mind-blowing. Thank you so much for sharing this information. I want to share this with all of the birth professionals that I have ever met, as it is so clear to me now how we have all been missing the big picture." And Cassie said, "I took 4 courses, and yours is the one I walked away with feeling the most empowered. Very specifically, the physiologic birth part where you show the slides of where baby is. Having known what baby does in that dance with the pictures just let me trust the process, so I never felt worried." So if you'd like to learn more about what Sarah and Cassie are talking about, you can get started with this very special and unique physiologic birth training for free at naturalbirthcompass.com/free class. I hope to see you there. Communication. Hello.
It happens all day, every day. And yet, somehow, most of us struggle with this. And it's a foundational skill for birth. That's why we're starting the first episode of the Journey to Birth podcast with this very important topic. Because I want to help you learn techniques to improve your ability to communicate so you can use it to improve your birth experience. Imagine walking into your birth room so confident your birth team asks not how, but if they can help you. Imagine transforming the anxiety, the worry and uncertainty that you have about your birth right now into the confidence and knowledge that will end everyone's questions about your natural birth and even have them asking you how you did it. Are you ready to learn how you can stop imagining your wonderful birth and start preparing to experience it? Then you are in the right place. I'm Tristan, the creator of the Natural Birth Compass online childbirth education program, and I'm coming to your ears to put notions into your brain, to spark new ideas that become a thought pattern that empowers you to take control of your pregnancy, your birth, and your life as a parent. My perspective on birth as a childbirth educator has been shaped by my training in Eastern medicine, a deep study of Chinese philosophy, and a lot of observation of the natural world. So if you're ready, grab your mug, fill it with your favorite tea, and let's begin your journey to birth. Improving communication in birth begins by improving your communication overall. But before we talk about you, I want to first talk about the bigger struggle with communication, because it's not just a patient problem. Struggling with communication goes both ways. As patients, it's hard for us to know the right questions to ask because the background information is missing. Very few of us grow up in cultures where we're exposed to a real birth until we experience our own. So our expectations and preconceptions are formed by the media, by the movies, and by stories from other women in our lives who've gone through it before us. And sometimes these stories can be full of joy and really powerful and build us up for our own birth, but It seems more often than not today, we hear stories of all the things that required an intervention or caused some disruption in the birth process. And then at the other end of the spectrum, providers can have what we call a cognitive bias, in which they're so educated and they're so experienced, they don't remember what it's like to not know about what to expect in birth. When this happens, it can be hard for them to anticipate your needs and prepare you for what to expect. Even the best and most attentive of providers can fall prey to their cognitive bias. In fact, we have all probably done this in one way or another. Anything that we become expert in is likely to lead to a cognitive bias. For example, think about a time that you had to teach someone something that you had become proficient in years ago. For instance, training a new hire at your job. Or maybe you were a tutor for somebody in a subject that came really easy for you. Or think about teaching somebody a craft that you've been doing for so long, it comes so naturally to you that you don't even have to think about. Like maybe knitting. If you're an extremely proficient knitter, you could do it with your eyes closed. When you try to teach it to someone new to it, it can be hard to remember the challenges that they're going to face because it just has become so second nature to you. So now we have a couple of things going on here. As a patient, we don't have the full scope of knowledge, and your provider probably has some level of cognitive bias and forgets that we as the patients don't know everything that they know. I'm going to complicate things just a little bit further because communication is, well, it's complicated, and it's complicated throughout our life, not just in birth. And that's because we all have different communication styles with different strengths and different challenges that come as a part of that style. Now, some people are really good at open communication. It's a strong point for them overall. But then there's some of us who are really good at listening, but we're maybe not really as good at asking or doing the talking. Others are better at holding the conversation piece, but they may not be as good at making space for other people to be included in the conversation. And some people just prefer to limit communication altogether. Our communication chemistry influences conversations that we have with everyone in our lives, including our care providers, our birth team, and even our birth partner. I think the biggest problem with this whole communication breakdown is that it often isn't clear that there is this communication gap until things get a little messy. Sometimes it shows up when there's a problem with your pregnancy, but so often it's when you're already in labor that the problem becomes apparent, and these are the worst times to make this discovery. So how do we bridge this communication gap between you, between your birth partner, and your birth team? Well, in my experience, it's all in the preparation, and there are two primary ways that I know of to prepare you so that you can avoid major communication stress in labor. First, each one of us has to understand our communication style and our strengths and challenges that come with it when it comes to communication so that we can improve the effectiveness of our conversations. This is true for the pregnant mom, the birth partner, and ideally everyone on the birth team. And second, we each need to work on our awareness of knowing that communication styles of other people, they will vary from ours. And it's always helpful to be aware of those cognitive biases that your providers may have so that we as patients can be empowered to ask questions that remind the expert that we're talking to that we might need them to go back a few more steps in the conversation so that we really have all the information that we need. So we have the full picture of what it is that we can expect. This kind of preparation is really prevention, which we all have heard is the best medicine. It's prevention from small issues turning into major complications. It's prevention from giving up control of your birth because of fear or confusion by empowering yourself to be able to get the information that you need to make decisions. Understanding your communication style is one of the four steps that we include in our childbirth education program that helps our students write a birth plan that they and their birth team love to use, and I want to take some time to give you a rough breakdown of how it works on this episode. So first, you start off by identifying your dominant communication trait out of four core types. Are you the straight to the point and organized type, the social and outgoing type, the nurturing and caregiving type, or the quiet and sensitive type? Now, I can't go into depth of each of the four types in this episode, or we'll be here all day, but we'll gradually cover more about them in future episodes. And if you would like further examples of the different types from real life, check out our coaching sessions that are part of this podcast, where I help expectant parents learn about their dominant communication types and identify their strengths and challenges and how to prepare them for their upcoming births. I find this is a great way to really learn about the different types because you'll have specific parents that we'll talk to with whom you'll relate to, and this can really help you to learn about yourself while we're learning along with them. You can also assess the 2-minute assessment form that I have them fill out to gauge your type. You can find that at naturalbirthcompass.com/resources and download a copy for yourself of the exact assessment form that our students and our podcast coaching guests go through. Once you've identified your type, the next step is to explore your strengths and challenges associated with that type in regard to communication. So, are you the easygoing communicator? Are you the conservative communicator? Do you shut down easily and hold things inside? There are many ways that we block our own communication. So start to observe yourself in your everyday life as you communicate in your regular environment. So within your household, with your coworkers, or even at places like the grocery store or restaurants. By doing this, you will become aware of your communication strengths and challenges, how you can leverage your strengths, and how you need to prepare for those challenging areas before your labor is here and it becomes even more important. With this exploration and prevention work done, you'll have a powerful tool in your labor toolbox, and one that is genuinely needed because once your labor's here, your ability to functionally and vocally communicate is likely to change in the different stages of labor. In early labor, it's usually easy enough to be clear about your needs as long as you're prepared to do so. But as things ramp up, you may not have the full capacity to communicate vocally or calmly. So here again, being prepared with how you might respond is the key to prevention. So after you've identified your core type, you can then prepare for the different stages based on other life experiences that you've already been through and how you communicated in those times. For example, when recovering from a cold or a flu, some people will want to be taken care of. They'll want to have warm tea and chicken soup brought to them. They'll want to be tucked into bed. While others will want to be alone. They don't want to be disturbed. They just want to be in bed by themselves. This speaks to how you might react in early labor as well. But as it picks up and becomes more intense, you might find that you do need that support person to be right there with you, whether that's your birth partner, your doula, your midwife, or a nurse. And you'll want to be comfortable getting that person to be there, even if asking for support isn't normally your strength. Knowing these things about yourself means that you'll be able to prepare your birth partner and your birth team so that they know how to approach you and support you in birth, and this will take so much pressure out of your birth room because your lines of communication are open and they're more likely to be understood rather than misinterpreted. You can prepare them for how you want them to be there for you. For example, if you know that you're not good at asking for help and support, you will have discussed this ahead of time with your birth partner and have a plan in place for them to offer support without you having to ask. So you don't have to worry about whether they will be there for you, and they don't have to worry about guessing whether or not you need their help. The other benefit is that by going on your own journey of discovery about your own communication style, you're also going to learn about the communication styles of other people, and you'll have some insight into the communication strengths and challenges of members of your birth team. And though this technically shouldn't be your job, in today's birth culture, you may not know your birth team before your labor, and sometimes your birth team will change during labor, or you may have a situation where you need to transfer from an out-of-hospital to a hospital setting, and having these skills can help you maintain your ability to communicate effectively, and that can be all the difference in your birth room. So, again, if you want to grab that assessment and start exploring your own communication type, you can find it at naturalbirthcompass.com/resources. And don't forget to catch some of our coaching podcasts where you can hear expectant parents discover their own communication styles and learn a little bit about yourself as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again in the next episode. Thank you for listening and being open to new perspectives as we spent this time together. As always, let me know how I can support your journey. If you have topics you want to hear about, guests you'd like to hear from, questions or comments to share,
let me know about it all. This podcast is always transforming, and you can help shape it into something that helps thousands of families have the best pregnancy, birth, and transition into parenthood possible by leaving a comment or a review so they can find us, or sharing this podcast with others in your life who will benefit from our discussions. Find me on the socials at Natural Birth Compass or email me at info@naturalbirthcompass.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on our next episode. Wishing you a wonderful journey to birth. See you next time.